Welcome to the Roanoke Weekly Podcast for February 6th. Me and Brad here today with Ariel and Xavier again. How are you guys doing this morning?
Doing good. How are you?
Great. I think I had an audible sigh while you were starting this podcast because of our first story, which we just spent some time talking about before we turned on the microphones.
Probably a good thing we spent a little bit of time. Who knows what we would have come out if we hadn't. But yes.
Our first story today, we wanted to just touch on what's happening at the state level with our Governor Northam and the very unfortunate scandal following him around that has also bled into Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax and his possible succession of the seat of governor. Who wants to summarize what happened, friends?
So essentially, late last week, it was revealed that there was in the yearbook from his medical school, Governor Northam's medical school, there was a picture of him on his page that appeared to have either him or in blackface or in a KKK uniform, either one. There was immediate kind of calls for his resignation and things along these lines. He released an apology saying he made a terrible error doing that. He then came back the next day, said that that was actually not him in the picture that he had said had been him in the picture the day before, but that he had dressed up in blackface before for a party in 1984 where he went as Michael Jackson and then was challenged to dance and almost did so at the press conference, which is amazing. They also came out that his undergraduate yearbook, he also had some just not great things in there, including, I believe, a nickname that included Coon in some form or fashion, which is not okay either, obviously. But he has refused to step down to this point, even to the point where he is considering becoming an independent because the Democratic Party has essentially shunned him so much that he has no sway in that party anymore, but he seems to be not going anywhere, and that's the ridiculous situation that we're in right now.
Yeah, so you can see why we were sighing and talking about it before. So it's one of those stories that just we haven't really touched on a lot of scandals on this podcast because we're not professional journalists, and it's hard to talk about stuff where it's a lot of allegations and a lot of untruth and people saying white lies just to keep themselves safe, but it's definitely worth talking about because this is our representation at the national level. So,
yeah, I think it's interesting. Of course, I come with a different perspective, but you know, for him to apologize and you know admit to everything, it's kind of just like I was saying, it's. Well, these are my true colors. You know, I'm going to show y'all who I am because nothing's going to really happen to me anyway.
Mm-hmm.
At the end of the day, he's still sitting in his seat. Nothing's going to happen, regardless if it comes out, if it is him or whatever. He'll still be in politics. He'll still be making decisions. Things will still have to run past his desk to get done. I mean, it shows you what type of time and place we're in today and who are the people that are making the calls, the true colors of them. And it sucks that it has to happen in this day and time, and it sucks that we have to be the people who have to reap the benefits of it, mm-hmm. or reap, you know, the consequences of it. But,
yeah,
you know, I don't know what to say. I'm not surprised. You know, just to be honest, as a young black man, I'm not surprised. Things like this don't surprise me anymore.
Yeah, that's so sad. One thing I've been talking about, my friends, is around this is like no one is owed the seat of an elected office. You are elected to represent the people, and to be so resistant to the calls from your people to make a change when this kind of thing happens, it just really does double down on what you're saying, Xavier, mm-hmm. about showing your true colors. Like, this is not your God-given job. You were elected to mm-hmm. this position, mm-hmm. and when we're asking for a change, I think it, you know, it's worth listening and really digging in, even if he doesn't step down, really digging into what's being said by his constituents and his fellow Democrats. I don't know. That's my opinion.
Well, it does. I think for me, it comes back to, you know, whenever someone is running for office, one of the first questions I want to know is, why are you running for office? Mm-hmm. And in a case like this, it's clear that, you know, he cannot effectively govern at this point. Mm-hmm. It's just impossible. Mm-hmm. And yet for him to refuse to step down means that it's more important in some ways in his mind for him to maintain his position
right.
than mm-hmm. actually govern, which just says power thing. About what's yeah, important
power.
To him.
Mm-hmm. Keep the power where the power
is. It's a power
is.
Thing.
Yeah.
And then, like you said, it makes you, it almost makes you leery about like voting because it's like, like,
yeah,
I'm supposed to be voting Democrat, but who's really on my side?
Right. Yep. We'll keep everybody posted. We probably shouldn't talk about this for the entire like 45 minutes of this podcast, even though we probably could. But of course, if he does step down, there will be, you know, talk about Lieutenant Governor Justin Fairfax, taking the seat of governor and what that means for him. Among a separate allegation around sexual assault with him. So we'll just keep an eye on it.
I will say, before we move on too quickly, just that this continues to happen and it continues to be wildly unacceptable. And we will continue to see people coming forward. So there was just another thing in the local news that I didn't include, so I'm going to spring this on.
Ooh, a surprise.
But there's a guy who's a retired plastic surgeon, used to serve on the board of TAP, who was revealed in another yearbook locally that he had dressed up as Diana Ross in blackface. And he has come forth and said things along the lines of, he asked his black friends and they said it was okay, and so he did it. And he has really not apologized at all for that. And he's a professor at the osteopathic medical school down in Blacksburg. So it just continues, and we really need to move past this. So,
yeah, I mean, I love I love when people say we need to move past it, but it's not. I think I look at it more realistically, where it's like, that's just the time we're in. Like, things now, it's like the information age where mm-hmm. we're going to get everything. So everything, mm-hmm. all the covers are being pulled back. All of the blinds are being pulled. Like, everything is going to come to surface. And with that coming to surface, somebody has to take the bullet. And if it's not the governor, then Justin Fairfax's allegations mm-hmm. will get exposed so mm-hmm. that's the front, you know, that's the spotlight so that, you know, the governor's negative will get overshadowed. And right. that's just how it works. And it sucks because as a black man, I know that that's what's going to happen. I know going forward, like, my little thing will get broadcasted way more than somebody else's just because of the color of my skin. And, you know, even for that thing with TAP, it's just thinking in my mind, like, I've worked with TAP. Like, I've seen people. So it makes you so much more, I don't know the word, hesitant when making relationships, when sharing information. Mm-hmm. She's like, I don't know what their intent is. I don't know if they have my best intentions at heart. I don't know their background. I don't know if something's gonna, you know, pop up and they show me their true character. I don't know. I just be careful. That's the only thing I could say is honestly, just be careful and just, you know.
Yep. Well, and this I think this story really you know, to give a little behind the scenes look, one of the reasons that we all wanted to do this podcast together as three people with very different perspectives is to talk about these issues. And, you know, this is maybe one of the first times we've really dug into something like this, but I think this is necessary in the process. It doesn't make it necessarily better or change anything about the facts of the matter, but at least the conversation is happening. You know, doesn't solve any of the problems.
No.
It is important to have
I think
this.
That's the biggest thing is having the conversation.
Yeah.
For so long, it's just been, we can't talk about that. We probably shouldn't talk about that. But we need to talk about that because people's feelings are in this. People's hearts are in this. And people's money, people's time are in these things. And if it continues to get swept under the rug, it'll be another 100 years. And mm-hmm. we'll just now be getting to it. The only way change can happen is if people talk about things
and
people
take ownership for it. And you guys are right; it'll keep happening. Yeah. Like, this is not.
Oh, this is nothing.
Not the last time.
No.
Yeah.
When it's, I mean, to put it very bluntly, people are dying because of this crap. I mean, mm-hmm. like, you know, the reason that he could do this in some ways is because everyone at his medical school came from a certain background. And then when he goes to work in the hospital, almost everyone is of that same background.
Right.
So then when you're a person of color of any kind going in there, how are you going to be able to communicate effectively mm-hmm. with these folks that have these kind of things?
Right.
And that's how people die in the hospital or how police officers have misunderstandings. It's, yep. you know, it's because we don't having that conversation in some ways. And
people only do things when they feel like they can be accepted to do it. People, these kids do these rallies and stuff like that because their leader says it's okay.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay.
Heavy sigh.
Yeah. What a time in America.
And I guess jumping back into the more palatable local politics of Roanoke, the circuit court.
Yes, yeah, so there's the woman who has been the circuit court clerk since 2003 is going to have a challenge this time around for the first time, I think, excuse me, since that point. And this is, she's been in, you know, for a while at this point. This is an interesting one because, to be honest, I don't know how important this role is, something that we vote on. And
she's the person that signs off on a lot of people's marriage licenses. So, I mean, I think whoever's in the role will do that. But it's a name that you see a lot in Roanoke when you get important business done. And yeah, this one, the story, you know, it's a pretty simple story that there's a challenger this year for the first time, and they're both running as Democrats. So the Democratic Party will have to pick a way that they'll, you know, align with one candidate over the other. And that'll all happen in the course of the year, the next year. And it'll be interesting to see what happens. It's like a race in an office that doesn't normally have some sort of race like this.
Yeah, and this, I mean, whoever we elect is going to be in for 8 years, so that's a long time
yeah.
to be in. So anyway, keep up to date. We will try to keep you up to date on that, but that is going on. Meanwhile, the other big local news in some ways on the political front is that after kind of 2 years of conversation, Salem has officially, it looks like, going to be joining the Regional Airport Commission. And I find this really interesting that I didn't know kind of how the airport operated in this, essentially that it's run by the municipalities in the sense that they appoint the governing board for it. Right now it's just been Roanoke County and Roanoke City, and now Salem will likely be added to that.
Not Blacksburg also? I forget.
I did not catch that. I'm not sure that they are part of it.
Oh, well, their name's on it.
It is, but I was thinking, so it says in here.
Sorry.
By the way, everything we read to you is stuff that you can read in other places.
So. Right. We don't make up any of this stuff out of our heads or do any of the work ourselves. We just read already existing articles.
Yeah, so currently the city of Roanoke appoints 3 members to the commission while Roanoke County appoints 2. In order for Salem to be to get another member, Roanoke would have to have another member added as well.
Yeah, Roanoke has to have the majority.
Has to have the majority because it's physically located in the city. So that's a big deal, you know, especially with the change in leadership in Salem recently. It's interesting that they're kind of keeping the same path with that.
Yeah, this is not a change in their goals from the previous leadership. This is indeed in line with what he wanted. From the article, it seems mm-hmm. like that's the case.
So, you know, I guess it's a good thing from the sense of regional cohesion and collaboration, but I'm not sure it'll see many impacts from it other than if you're in Salem and you want to be on the airport commission. There's a chance to do so, which is another chance for me to give a plug that any of these places, Roanoke City, Roanoke County, has lots of boards and commissions if you're interested in serving on one. Mm-hmm. Errol and myself are both on one. I don't know if you're on one mm-hmm. or not.
EDA.
All right. Mm-hmm. But it's a lot of fun. It's not always a lot of fun. But
it's good to do, though.
Yes.
Good to be involved.
Yeah, definitely.
In continuing our transportation segment of the show, Brad titled this segment "Nothing Happening on 81." After our rousing conversation last week about what were they called? Steel highways or whatever, like putting trucks on trains and shipping them across the state. It seems unlikely that any plans are going to be made during this time of legislation to further impact 81's improvements, unfortunately.
So yeah, it sounds like something's going to happen, but it doesn't sound like there's going to be any funding attached to it.
Then
you know they're going to create a commission to make decisions and figure out how to fund things, which is just how we do things, right? Right. Instead of actually doing something, we say somebody else is going to do it, and they're going to figure out how to pay for it. So,
it's like a group project.
I mean, it is kind of interesting terms of like. Apparently, Hampton Roads has paid a slightly higher gas tax for years to pay for their infrastructure. And so there's now all these conversations like, well, do we have a toll over here or do we pay a slightly higher gas tax to pay for this? Or, you know, should the whole state pay for it? Or kind of how is that?
Yeah, it sounds like so many communities are affected by different segments of 81 and they talk about it in segments. And one of the big issues is that people are hung up on fairness. Like it's not fair for one segment to subsidize another segment that they don't use, et cetera. So people are very like territorial and talking a lot about fairness. And so of course somebody feels like they're getting screwed no matter what the solution is. So that's why we're at a stalemate.
And just as another note here, this is for those of you that aren't that familiar with how Virginia governs, our General Assembly only meets for a short time every year. Our state legislators are part-time folks. And so they actually don't have very long to do things. And so while they're trying to figure all this out, we've already discussed how the state house and the governor's in shambles. So who knows if any of this legislation that is happening right now, if anything is going to happen with any of it. So.
Oh, okay. So it's just news.
But here's something that's actually happening that is exciting and you know, well, I don't know if everybody thinks it's good news, but it's exciting, is that the Hieronymus building that was purchased last year is officially turning into a Mass General store on the ground floor. They're bringing retail back to the old Hieronymus building.
I thought it was apartments.
There's apartments upstairs.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, don't worry. That rooftop pool is still, that private Roanoke Weekly rooftop office suite / pool is still an option. But
I think that was episode, like, what, 4?
Yeah, we were pretty early on, like, really banking on that. Yeah, so the store is expected to open in 2020. Work on the new apartment should wrap up this year, according to the business piece in the Roanoke Times. And, yeah, so who's been to a Mass General store? We were talking about this earlier, but.
I have.
Yay. Did you buy some candies? Out of barrels?
I did not. Oh, it was really the place that I go in Asheville when we're cold and we need some place to warm up for about 5 minutes. That's where we go.
I went to college in Boone, North Carolina, and there's a great Mass General store there. And
What is it?
It's kind of like an old-fashioned general store with an outdoor focus in some way.
Yeah, they sell outdoorsy. They sell like...
You have flannel shirts.
I'm gonna give you a list.
Oh, so it's like
cast iron pans, hiking boots, candy out of barrels, like cowtails and other like country candies, tchotchkes and books. So if you like countryfied, old fashionedified chocolate paper,
in the middle of downtown.
Uh huh. They're huge. They're like an experience. They're like a tourist attraction experience kind of store.
It just doesn't fit.
It's a weird. It's a bit of an odd one, but it's like it.
So is it like Eddie Bauer?
It's more like you would want to take your kids there because they could like run around and see the candy. Like it's like, have you been?
I just look at like where the Hieronymus building is and it's like very city.
Mm-hmm.
Just that little square. Like if you
they put them in downtowns like this. That the one in Asheville, the one in Boone, they're all in the like main strip of downtown in the shopping area. Mm. Like in the mix there. They want walk-in, they want pedestrian traffic. They don't care there's no parking lot probably because they want pedestrian traffic.
I mean, their clothing stuff is not totally dissimilar to something like Orvis.
Outdoorsy,
you know. Yeah.
So anyway. There's a demographic that it's...
I mean, yeah. The
yeah, okay. okay.
yeah. People go wild for Mass General I mean, think of the other places we're talking about, Asheville and Boone, right?
When you said that, I was like,
yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. I mean, everybody listening is understanding what we're saying. But I think it is.
When you said Asheville and Boone, I was just kind of looked like,
yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Yep. I think there is a bit more of a tourist attraction to it than somewhere like an Orvis or a sporting goods store, though. Like they have other stuff. It's like, you know, the Floyd General store, but way, way bigger. It's going
to
be huge.
No, I mean, I almost compare it to like, you know, the entry, like the entry store to Cracker Barrel type thing. Mm-hmm. Almost. Which, yep. Yep, exactly. The look on Xavier's face right now is priceless. Yeah.
When, so I will say, like, in Boone, there's a very small downtown, and when Obama came through during his initial, like, campaign visit, that's where he went to get, you know, for a photo op.
Of course he did.
So it's like, you know, everybody loves their Mass General store, and...
I mean, let's be real here, Xavier. We're just waiting on you to open your store downtown. So.
I would love to. Oof. I would absolutely love to. The rent is extremely, rent is, too, way too
the
expensive.
The rent is high. Somebody even in Roanoke.
Wants to, somebody wants to donate about high. 2 years.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
Right.
I'll do it.
As the other end of the spectrum to the downtown business game, I am so thrilled to be in the same neighborhood as Blade, the new... game shop in downtown. It's in the West Station neighborhood. It's where the ye old futon / mattress shoppy used to be.
See, that should be under those apartments.
Yeah, but I don't know if it,
that would make sense.
Yes, but that mass, the Hieronymus is huge. It would be a part of it, right?
I would almost put, if you see, I feel like you, if you put a bunch of apartments up there, mm-hmm. you've got a lot of young people moving to the city. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Why would you put an old country store, excuse me, but why would you put an old country store beside, and you, down that street you have like so many, like the new barbershop, like 16 West.
I have got, a feeling.
It just doesn't fit.
Like, I have a feeling that it's going to be a much more modernized mast than the ones of the Boone and Asheville era. I think it's going to target more of the like outdoorsy millennial person. Okay. I'm guessing on that, but the way they're using the social media like and representing yeah. this, I think it's going to target that demographic, like young families and stuff more. But I don't know. But
I'm not against it. Anything, I mean, growth is growth. So
yeah,
anything that's moving
into
town.
It's nice
town,
to see the Hieronymus have something in it.
But this sounds really cool. I'll definitely be
you guys
there.
Should go by. I mean, my store is a block away, so I've seen them move into this shop, and I thought for the longest time it was going to be laser tag. I was like, cool, because they were doing all this mural, these like neon murals inside.
Is there a laser tag place in Roanoke? Mm-hmm.
I don't know. We're really going down a rabbit hole. Sorry, I shouldn't have done that. Anyway, this is a game shop, so you can go in and play. Like they have all these games on site, and they're selling some retail games, and they have some food and beverages. They're applying for an ABC license to serve beer. Basically, you can pay $5 and play games all day. They have all sorts of multiplayer games. And board games. And every time I walk or drive by, I see people hanging out at the tables, like playing games. And it's apparently a really, really fun and friendly environment. So
and this is
pretty cool.
Where is this at again?
It's on the corner of 5th and Salem, right? Yeah.
It's so right down the hill from you, right?
That big gray building.
Yeah.
Yeah. It used to be like a waterbed shop.
Yes, the waterbed shop, whatever it was. It was such a weird name. But yeah, now it's a game shop, and there's a couple other things. Like the Bazaar of Roanoke has a temporary pop-up on the side of that building, too, so you can go hunt around for some vintage records and go play some games and get tacos.
It's interesting. I mean, you know, anyone that's saying that there's nothing to do in Roanoke, I think we're bordering on the ludicrous with that at this point, given that the Starcade just opened recently as well. So if you want to go play games somewhere in Roanoke, that's probably a place for you to do that, so...
Yeah, check out Blade. It's an acronym. Brad, you love acronyms. It's an acronym for Big Lick Adventures, Dreams, and Entertainment. It's so sweet.
I like a cheesy acronym. That one's a little too useful and helpful.
Oh my God, we have a lot of stuff to get through, guys. Let's start. Let's do speed round. Okay, Brad, talk about this new school.
Yes, so Fallon Park Elementary. They've been redoing it, rebuilding an elementary school out there. It's going to be opening soon. Very exciting for all those students who get to go into a new elementary school. Especially one that is not in one of the nicest parts of town. So hopefully they'll be able to benefit some of the invest from some of the investment that's gone into that school.
Very
so
excited for that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A bunch of trees are dying in Kennedy Park, and the Roanoke arborist is sort of at a loss for figuring out why. But the main theory now is just that the humans are destroying Earth, and that's really the issue.
Well, that's really uplifting.
Well,
do you know these trees, Xavier?
I don't know these trees, but that park is right beside my church.
Is it?
I'm just reading the
Yeah, there's a lot of things that could be happening, but really it's saying like, yeah, the soil was pretty poor, and
Yeah, I hope they do something with it because that's a really, really nice part.
Yeah.
Mm. It's an extremely nice part. And I've talked to people in the city who they speak about making sure like all the grounds are kept in all the park and how hard it is to get, you know, there's just so many parks in Roanoke.
Yeah.
But I hope this one doesn't just like fall to waste.
Well, we should mention here that the city actually does not have very much money for planting new trees.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's an organization, Trees Roanoke, that if you want new trees, you can donate to Trees Roanoke and they will see to it that trees are planted in places such as the parks.
Hopefully, that's a nice park.
Work on some, it sounds like the soil is pretty poor there, so hopefully they'll work on some of that stuff too. But yeah, a park without shade in the summertime is not a lot of fun.
No.
So. Also, trees are great. We need them. Okay.
I'm super stoked about this next thing.
Who's this guy? Jeffrey Sachs?
Do you really not know who Jeffrey Sachs
is? I'm sorry, I don't.
Oh, my goodness.
I don't even know what the Earth Institute is, Brad. Can you please tell us?
I didn't tell you what it is.
Can you just inform us?
I mean, I say that as someone who has done research into sustainable development, but Jeffrey Sachs is perhaps the biggest name in the world of sustainable development, and the fact that he's coming to Roanoke is a big deal. I mean, he's written several books about how to create a world, an economic system that is more just and equitable for everybody and is sustainable. And he's going to be coming and speaking as part of VTC RI's stuff down there, although they have the new name, and I'm sorry that I've... The Fralin Biomedical Institute, I think, is what I'm supposed to call that now. But he advises the UN, is at Columbia, I believe, director of the Earth Institute. Really big name in this field. And February 21st at 5:30, I believe he'll be speaking down on the campus down there. So
I'll put it in the event section of the newsletter or somewhere in the newsletter, sign up for the newsletter so you can hear about these cool things.
And you should Google Jeffrey Sachs and read some of his writings. So, I'm not saying he has the answers, but he's involved in the
dip into that Wikipedia page. I don't know if you guys have seen this, but somehow in my time here in Roanoke, I have noticed every year construction. It's a big deal at the Taubman Museum of Art. Have you seen this exhibit? It's a local thing where they identified a bunch of different groups of sort of engineers and architects and all these groups in town and tasked them with building these self-supported canned goods structures that at the end are dismantled and all the cans go to Feeding America, Southwest Virginia. So these structures have like thousands of cans in them. I mean, they're 10 feet by 10 feet. Like they did a model, they did a huge train one a couple years ago, huge buildings and structures and quote miniature versions of landmarks around Roanoke. And I say miniature meaning like they're still 10 feet tall, all in the lobby of the Taubman. And then there's all these different criteria they get judged on, like creative use of labels and best meal represented in the cans used and stuff like that. So it's really like cute and hokey and also is for a really good, you know, purpose of getting all this food to Feeding America. But it's really fun to go look at. And, of course, it's free admission to go see this stuff. So, yeah, that's starting up soon. Really fun.
Well, and if I'm not mistaken, the car exhibit is coming to a close.
It did, last weekend.
So you missed that. But chance to go see a new exhibit. And I'm not sure what their new exhibit will be. But
In the meantime, there's construction. Yeah. You can even go watch them build them, which is cool. Like, get to see this stuff get built in real time. Yeah. So check that out. I'll put that in the newsletter, too.
And now, the story that Ariel did not want to end with today.
But, our final and most important story of the day.
I like to end with a whimsical story. I'm sorry. But,
no, it's great. It's super cute.
With Valentine's Day coming up, the Roanoke County Libraries are doing a blind date with a book where you can go in and they've wrapped a book in brown paper with a light description on the outside, and you don't know what it is until you've checked it out, and then you have to go read whatever your blind date is with the book. So
that's actually really, really dope.
It's, you know, to go back to the Asheville thing. When I was in Asheville, the bookstore in Asheville does this. So you can go in and they'll like you buy like books, yeah, and oh, like you can
just constantly on the date.
And
with
it'll
the
be
book.
Like on the cover, it'll be like suspenseful, exciting, heart wrenching marriage. Something like that, and you're like, "Ooh, do I, is that the kind of book that I want to read?"
Yeah, these all sound like trigger warnings.
I don't know if I would want to do it all year round.
I
look at that and I just see, always look at one thing and I see like 10,000 things. So I see a nice like event that they could do out of that.
Well, it's the fun part is that, you know, you don't want to do it for every book that you're going to read, but you know, you get stuck. Mm-hmm. I mean, like with all the stuff we kind of talked about, you get stuck in your lane. This is a chance to go in and just strip away, you know, what does the cover look like? What do I know about the author? Mm-hmm. Is the concept something that I might enjoy?
And after you finish reading it, there's like a worksheet you can fill out and submit to win prizes. And it was so cute and funny. It was like, is a second date an option? And it was like, this is a one night stand. It's like very much all about like romance and all that. But with books, super cute. So go have a date with a book.
Yes.
Treat yourself. Take your book out to dinner, people.
If you're eating alone, it's a great way to spend your time.
You're never alone with a book, Brad.
Oh, man. What a great line.
All right. Spotlights. I'm going to start off with the arts and culture spotlight, which this is kind of a non sequitur in the arts and culture world, you would think. But let me prove you wrong. The Science Museum of Southwest Virginia, they have a bunch of cool events for kids and families and everyone that a lot of them are very crafty. They have one coming up for Valentine's Day where you can make a like electronic Valentine's Day card that like lights up with, you like build it yourself with copper wire and batteries and stuff. So that's coming up and it's, you can bring your kids. They have like craft beer available for the adults, not for the children. And yeah, so come get crafty at the Science Museum. You never know what you might learn. There.
It's a great museum.
Totally.
Regardless. So but what are you thinking of?
I was trying to figure out if my event falls in the arts sector.
Mm. Well, tell us about it anyway.
Okay. I'll tell you about it. I think I talked about it last week.
The speakeasy?
Yeah.
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 Yeah, we'll keep putting that in the newsletter until it happens. Sure. But that's like looking like it's gonna be quite
I think it's gonna be so
quite an
dope.
Event.
That's get a lot of tickets getting sold.
I do. I want to ask about. Okay. I know we're way over on time, but I do want to ask about your this other event that you've got coming up for girls.
Yes.
Yes. And give you a chance to talk about that.
That's
going to
be huge. That's going to be huge.
What is it? I don't know about it.
So the Humble Hustle is a pretty humble program with girls. Mm-hmm. We went up to DC last year. Took the girls. One of my old college mates, Chanel Grant. She started a nonprofit called The Bigger Picture. She does this big Unleashed conference up in D.C. and Maryland. So we took the girls up there. We kind of teamed up and was like, hey, girls at home could use this. We don't get a lot of free, like, girls conferences like that. Mm-hmm. So we partnered up together and figured it out. It's going to be at Hollins March 30th from 8 a.m. to 2 p.m. It's a really, really dope, I keep saying dope, but it's a really, really fun event. It is free for middle school and high school age girls. I'm trying to find a flyer. Anyways, it's free for middle school and high school age girls. There's scholarships given away to senior girls. There's food. There's raffles.
Nice.
There's like six different workshops from social media etiquette to personal branding to self-confidence and self-esteem. All of that. So it's really, really, really cool. I mean, it's free. So
that's great. Yeah. We'll put that in the newsletter as well for folks who have kids. And awesome. Congratulations on bringing that to the little old Virginia.
It's appreciate great. It.
Well, do you want to hit us up with a food spotlight?
Yeah. I guess I'm telling your news, but the,
you can share another one if you want. You can skip this entirely.
No. You got it. I've already said my little piece. So.
Well, our food news is while we were not around, there was a bit of a scandal involving Mel's Place that we won't dig into too much, the pizzeria over in Old Southwest. But the exciting news is that the chef from Tazaa, of great love here in the Grayson Village area, is going to be opening another restaurant there that's going to have a mix of different kinds of cuisine and looks very exciting. So,
Tizza is not going anywhere, though. No, we should say that's staying in the Grand Village.
You can still get that amazingly priced
lunch buffet.
Sweet. Yeah, we'll keep everybody posted on the schedule for that because that's very exciting.
And then the business spotlight of the week, I wanted to give a big shout out to the Advanced Men Foundation and their Gauntlet program. So they had over 100 entrepreneurs and small business folks out last night for the first night of their fifth annual Gauntlet program. You know, everywhere from here in the city to the county up into Allegheny County, and doing really exciting things in terms of promoting and helping folks that want to start a business, take that idea and turn it into a reality. And I know Xavier is going to be taking part of that and a bunch of other really interesting things. So they're doing really the good work. And so big shout out to Annette and Kathleen and her team, their team over there. But yeah.
Well, that wraps up maybe the longest episode we've ever recorded. Thanks for hanging on if you're here at the end. And thanks for coming back to us after our long hiatus. Sign up for the newsletter, blah, blah, blah. You know the drill.
Yeah. Rate and review this wherever you listen to podcasts and share with all of your friends. If we meet one of you and your friends don't know about us, we're going to hate you and judge you accordingly. So
that's not true.
No, it's not true.
None of my friends listen to this, and that's okay. Do whatever you want, guys.
Just get them to subscribe. I don't really care whether they listen or not. So just play the first 5 seconds of it so our numbers look good. Anyway, moving on.
Yeah.
Thanks, y'all.
Thanks. Have a great week.
See ya.